Good morning. And certainly it was luxury at his best to remember the Lord this morning. This do in remembrance of me. What a privilege was ours this morning. Shall we turn, please, to two scriptures? The first in the book of Job, chapter 36, 3-6. And reading verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. A second scripture in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord will bless again the reading from his precious word. Some time ago, we were down in Spanish Wells in the Bahamas. A building contractor there, Freddie Pinder, invited my wife and my daughter and the four grandchildren aboard his yacht to do a little fishing. As we climbed aboard, I noticed on the bow of his houseboat, actually a houseboat, large houseboat, the name of the boat, The Last Chance. The Last Chance. As I sat there, the children fishing, these two scriptures came to mind. And I worked out a little message that day, and the next day delivered a message, and a man from Syracuse, New York, visiting the island, came to the Savior. How precious. And we trust this morning that this might be the reaction that someone will trust the Savior. The last chance. In Job chapter 36, the last chance. 1 Corinthians 15, the last trumpet. Four solemn things in this chapter. We have the certainty, wrath. We have the caution, beware. We have the calamity, lest he take thee away with a stroke. And the climax, neither thy silver nor thy gold can deliver thee. Four solemn things. In the light of events all around us, we ought to be occupied with these things. Time is running out. Here is the certainty God says Beware, because there is wrath. Wrath. God is a God of love. And perhaps the greatest subject for any gospel preacher is to speak about the love of God. But we absolutely must be balanced, and we must warn that the God who is a God of love can be also very, very angry. The psalmist says, kiss the Son, Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. In the Garden of Eden, God was angry. He formed Adam in his own image and his likeness, put him in a beautiful paradise, but he put him on probation. Of every tree you may freely eat, but one tree. Old Satan moves in. You can't really rely on everything that God says. Hath God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods. And he submitted to that evil one on his claim. And great was the fall. God was angry. But when Adam said, I was naked, then God accepted his confession of his sin. Promised him a deliverer. That the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. But God was angry. And he drove out the man. Adam lost his position. He was the Lord of the universe. He lost his possessions, driven out. And he lost his peace. God was angry. And the result today, my friend, is the natural man has no peace. My one man's sin entered into the world, death by sin, for death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Paul writes and he says, of the natural man, destruction and misery are in his ways, and the way of peace he has not known. God was angry. You remember in Genesis chapter 7, God in his kindness built a boat, the ark, Noah, the engineer, and the carpenter. Its cubic capacity was larger than the Queen Elizabeth, one of the largest, of perhaps the largest liner ever built. Its cubic capacity. Built large enough for all in the then known world. And Noah preached for over 100 years of judgment to come. And they would not listen to the preaching of Noah. Finally, God says, this is it. I've had enough. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. A rowboat would have been big enough for that family. But God made adequate provision in that large ship, that large boat, for all who would respond to the gospel. God was angry. Shut the door. We read that all on the dry land died. God is a God of love, but his patience ran out. God was angry. Genesis chapter 19. God sent two angels down to Sodom. And he said to Lot, flee for thy life. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah, the scripture says, were exceeding sinful. And God in his kindness sent down the messengers to Lot. Flee for thy life. Lot delivered the message to his sons-in-law. And he had two daughters, obviously, married. And his sons. And the message he appeared to them was one that mocked. And finally, the angel hasted them out. Lot's wife, remember, look back. And the Lord gives a warning, woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, perished in the gain, saying, of course, God always keeps warning people. And God warned Lot's wife. And she looked back. And only Lot and his two girls escaped. And what do we read? That he destroyed Sodom with fire and brimstone. God warned. They would not respond to the warning. God was angry, and the judgment came. God was angry. We find in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, Moses was up on the mount with God. He came down from the mount, and he was horrified what he saw. Aaron making a golden calf, Israel worshipping the golden calf. These be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And Moses was infuriated. Who's on the Lord's side? And the sons of Levi picked up the sword. 3,000 souls perished that day. God was angry. In Isaiah 37, there is the Assyrian forces ahead. And God was angry with them. Sent one angel. And one angel destroyed 185,000 men in one day. One angel. God was angry. We turn to Revelation chapter 6. A day not far distant. And there we find kings. Rich men. Chief men. Bond men. Free men. Hiding themselves in the dens and the caves of the mountain. And calling upon them to fall in there. And hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. The day of his wrath is come. And who will be able to stand? Judgment is God's strange work. But it is inevitable. If we reject or refuse his offer of salvation. The certainty, because there is wrath. Notice the caution. God says, beware. It's love that warns. Dr. Torrey says in one of his books, that God blockades the road to hell with his love. God will do everything possible to prevent a soul from going down to hell. He willeth not the death of any. The prophet says, God who is in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rest. In his love, he will joy over you with singing. He will rest in his love. God has done everything he can to prevent sinners from going down to hell. Hence, the warning. Beware. God tells us there's judgment ahead. The people today will not accept the message of God's word regarding judgment. And of late, everything points out to foolish interpretations by Satan. Everybody eventually will be in heaven. In heaven. Universal salvation. But our beloved Savior, the Prince of Preachers, spoke more about hell than he ever spoke about heaven. Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God says, beware. Time is running out. Notice the calamity. Lest he take thee away with a stroke. You remember the man in the Bible called Cain. When Adam received the message that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the only avenue to God for forgiveness is on the basis of precious blood. So Abel brought his gift to the Lord, and God was satisfied. He was delighted with the offering of Abel. But Cain was infuriated. Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And the first child ever born was a murderer and a liar. Where is Abel thy brother? I know not. But oh, a merciful God kept after him. Cain, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. You come my way, I'll accept you as I've accepted your brother Abel. He was infuriated, became the first fratricide. He murdered his brother Abel. It was his last chance. He went out a fugitive and a vagabond. And so in Jude's epistle, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It was his last chance. Read in the scriptures of a man called Abner. Abner was responsible for the unpremeditated murder of a young man called Asahel. And God set up six cities of refuge, three on either side of Jordan. And Abner was fleeing to one of these cities of refuge. He's just at the gate of Hebron. When someone is lurking in the shadows of the gate and said, Abner, this is your old friend Joab. Let's have a little talk. It was his brother that was killed by Abner. And so Abner went aside to talk to Joab. And Joab got a sword and stuck it in his heart. And he dropped down dead. David lamented, died Abner as a fool dieth. Abner was no fool. He was a commander-in-chief of the army, but he died as a fool. How does a fool die? One step away from that city of refuge. And today, beloved friends, those who are in their sins are just one step away from that city of refuge, the place called heaven. It was Abner's last chance. I was down in the Bahamas in Manawar Key, got a phone call to see if I could come and officiate at the funeral of a dear saint of God. Treason Sands was his name. We went through mountainous seas to bury the same day down there. They have no embalming equipment like we have in this country. Buried the same, he went through mountainous seas to get to the island of Guanaquil. I delivered a message, and just then a tall, stately gentleman rose, came to the podium, and said, God is speaking once more to this island in death, and remember my boy. I inquired about his boy. raised in a Christian home like some of you young people. But he was given to alcohol. The bow on his boat, name drunk again. His dear old dad says, Cedric, please, give this up. Give your heart to the Lord. He wants to save you. He says, Dad, you take care of the church, and I'll take care of the booze. That father's heart was breaking. Kept after him. There are the coffins available again because of necessity. And he put his hand in one. He says, Dad, put my name in that one. And put a shelf in for my alcohol. A young man raised in a godly home. Took off on his boat with two other young men. Went from bar room to bar room in Marsh Harbor. And finally, the last place, the bartender says, Cedric, you're not able to drive that boat. He shall see you in hell. Raised in a Christian home. Went off with a boat, steering an erratic course. And passing Scotland Quay, they hit a rock. Fiberglass boat, you can see the very mark to this day. And Cedric's neck was broken. The boys limped into Marsh Harbor. They called his dad, who came over in a speedboat. There was his son lying in a canvas. And he wailed, my boys in hell. Brought him back to Guanaki, the body. And they put the body in the same coffin where he put his finger on in the morning. It was his last chance. My dear friend, this could be your last chance if you're not saved. God knows your heart. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Last chance. My colleague and I had meetings in Michigan. Lovely Christian lady asked us to go and visit her husband who was dying with cancer. We went to visit him. He was not happy when he saw who we were. He said, I'm not interested. We said, we're not leaving without reading and praying. Which we did. The next day, we decided to go back once more to try and break down this barrier. He was infuriated. So I told you yesterday, I'm not interested. I'm getting out of here and I'm going to live it up. My colleague says, Larry, you're going nowhere. You better get right with God. And we're not leaving before we read and pray. He says, clear out. 6 hours later, he died. We went to the funeral. What could you say? Asked us to take the funeral. I'll never forget as long as I live. And that widow put her arms round her husband in the casket and wailed. Larry, it's too late now. It's too late now. It was his last chance. Because there is wrath, beware. The calamity, lest he take thee away with a stroke. Notice the climax. Neither silver nor gold shall be able to deliver thee in the day of the Lord's wrath. People today have their eyes on accumulating wealth. When you leave this scene, it's all left behind. But if you work for the Lord, then the reward is ahead. stories told. It's only a little story, but here was this multimillionaire who had gone to heaven. And when he got up there, all he had was a very small mansion. And then the next lot was this beautiful, large building, and it was occupied by a widow who loved the Lord. And the question was raised, how come she got this large building, and look what I got? The angel says, that's all that you sent up. All that you sent up. God is keeping, he's a meticulous bookkeeper, and he's keeping records. Well done, good and faithful servant. I was in a certain place, and the lady told me that her brother-in-law had just sold his ice cream franchise for $80 million. I said, why don't you invite him to the meeting? He's not interested, period, in the Bible or in divine things. A week later, I saw his death in the obituary column. $80 million. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Here were two men about to die. They both blasphemed the Lord Jesus. The two thieves. That's what the scripture says. One said, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. If. The other had a change of attitude. He never saw a man die like this. He turned to his friend, dost thou not fear God? Seeing we're in the same condemnation, we indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. Condemnation of self, and that is essential. We deserve what we are getting. Condemnation. But oh, thank God for the right occupation. This man. And perfection. This man has done nothing amiss. No doubt when he saw the Lord Jesus hanging there in agonies and blood, saw his deportment. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he turned to the Lord. It was his last chance. He says, Lord. The Lord didn't dig up his past. The Lord didn't say a few moments ago, you blaspheme my name. The moment he says, Lord, his eternity was sealed for glory. Lord, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, remember me. It's an individual response. We cannot trust the Lord for our friends and relatives. It has to be an individual response. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Condemnation of self, occupation with the beloved Savior, perfection, but anticipation. When thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't look like a king. His back like a plowed field. The foul, filthy spittle of man mingled with the hair of his beard. The crown of thorns. He didn't look like a king. But to that thief he was the altogether lovely one. He knew that he was going to die. It was inevitable. But he knew he would rise again. And he knew that he would sit on the throne of glory, supreme. And that thief wanted to be with him in heaven. What about you? One went to hell. The other went to heaven. Simple transaction by the individual. But oh, what a majestic transaction by the Lord Jesus. As he died upon the cross. The poet says, the maker of the universe, as man for men was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made, and to the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bow, for good thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mine, in secret places he desired. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sun which hid from him his face, by his decree was poised in space. The skies which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The spear that pierced his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid were hewn in rocks his hands had made. But the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, and a new glory crowns his brow. And every knee to him shall bow. My friend, you will bow the knee. Paul says, everyone will bow the knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every celestial being up there will bow the knee. Every terrestrial being on this planet earth will bow the knee. And infernal beings will bow the knee. You will bow, either in time or in eternity when it's too late. Wonderful to respond to the appeal of the gospel. The last chance. This could be your last chance if you're here today not saved. Why then take the opportunity, the golden opportunity, to get right with the Lord Jesus? He's standing by right now and he's saying to you, come. Think of who he is, the eternal Son of the eternal God, and interested in you as an individual. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The last chance. We read about the last trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Paul was perhaps the custodian of at least 13 mysteries. There is one mystery that we will never fully understand. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Without controversy, Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. One day, a great preacher was asked to address a Unitarian gathering. And he said, you cannot take up anything controversial. So he went back, got down on his knees, and asked the Lord for guidance. So the Lord gave him a verse without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. He goes to the Unitarian Church and he completely shattered their whole religious concepts. When it was over, they said, you promised not to take up anything controversial. He said, I never did. Because the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. It's without controversy. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, receive of the glory. He shattered their whole religious foundation with one scripture. Oh, to get back to the book. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. There was a preacher, a little out of gear, was hitting at the instrument that he called the wooden brother. You've heard it, of course. The wooden brother. The old sister took him aside when the meeting was over. She said, brother, you have to get used to an instrument. For the first thing you're going to hear when the Lord comes is the sound of a trumpet. The trumpet will sound. According to history, a Roman soldier was acquainted with three blasts on the trumpet. The first blast of the trumpet, they were awakened out of sleep. The second blast of the trumpet, they were into marching order. And the last blast, the last trump, they were on their way. It's a wonderful thing to be awakened out of sleep through the gospel. God says that you are dead if you're not saved. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But oh, how precious is the gospel message to awaken us out of that sleep of indifference and to behold the Lord Jesus in all his preciousness. I was just a lad of 13 years of age. Came home from school one day and I hollered, Mum, I'm home. No answer. I went from room to room, and finally, in the sitting room, she was on her knees praying. I thought she had gone. I thought the Lord had come. And I was left. She was praying for me. Went to a conference in Lonehead, 8 miles out of Edinburgh. Dr. Percy Jones, a medical doctor, gave the first message at the conference. And he introduced in his message John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there, 3:05 on the 10th of January, there I was awakened out of Saul of Tarsus. He spoke of his conversion. He knew when, he knew where, he knew how. I knew when I was saved, and I knew where I was saved, and I knew how I was saved. First blast of the trumpet. Thank God for everyone here who has been awakened. The second blast, into marching formation. And I'll never forget the day that I got into marching formation with God's people. My wife and I, 13 years old, baptized the same night in Scotland in a cold, cold night on the 3rd of March. Cold night. The man who did the baptizing had large waders on, so he wasn't feeling the cold, but we were. 3rd of March, we got into marching formation. And on the 3rd of March, 1943, the same day, a different year, I'm in the Atlantic Ocean, my ship torpedoed. 2 hours with a life jacket in the water. Then had a massive heart attack in the Bahamas, and guess what? I'm in intensive care on the 3rd of March. I was commended to the Lord's work on the 3rd of March. And my colleague and I commenced our first gospel effort together on the 3rd of March in St. Catharines, Ontario, 1965. So when the 3rd of March comes around, we just wonder, you know, what's round the corner. March information. And I can tell you, having traveled in many parts of the world, there's nothing to be compared with God's people. As to the saints which are in the earthly excellent, in whom is all our delight. March information. If you're here today saved, never been baptized, go all the way. Identify yourself with God's people in assembly capacity. There's nothing like it. Oh, people going today for lots of entertainment and what have you. There's nothing like the simplicity of the gathering of the Lord's people in keeping with the Word of God. Finally, the final blast of the trumpet, they were on their way. We might hear that blast of the trumpet today. The trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The resurrection morn shall break, and all the sleeping saints away, brought forth in light again. O morn too bright for mortal eyes, when all the ransomed saints shall rise, and wing their way to yonder sky, caught up with Christ to reign. I was in Seattle some years ago, a brother called Fleming, his son was martyred down in Ecuador, and we spoke that night in heaven. He says, "Brother, I won't see you again down here, but look out for me on the way up, on the way up. The trumpet will sound, the last trumpet." So we appeal to you, if you're here today not saved, do come to the Savior. If you're saved, never be baptized, do like the man from Ethiopia. "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And join the ranks of God's people. They are the best in the eyes of God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee once again for giving us the luxury of looking into thy precious word and beholding these precious truths revealed to us by thy sovereign Spirit. If, Father, perchance is one here that he not say, we pray that one will come to the Savior. Help us to be dedicated, to be loyal in these last closing days. And so when we reach the land, that celestial city, to meet our blessed Savior and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.